God, help us to do that. Lord, to be honest, our souls are weary and beat down and confused and distracted. And for many of us, our souls are hiding. We're weak and how we long to be fed, how we long to find our happiness in you. So, Lord, help us today, and not just today, help us moving forward this year and the rest of our life, that no matter what happens to us circumstantially, we will have an anchor of our soul delighting in you. So help us, Lord. Help me, Holy Spirit, come and open up our spiritual eyes so that we could see wonderful things in your law. Revive us, Lord. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, here's the main truth that we're going to cover today. Seek to be happy in God by engaging him regularly in his word. Easy peasy. Simple, simple. Seek to be happy in God by engaging him regularly in his word. Now, I know a lot of you maybe have reading the Bible more this year. That's one of your goals, right? What are we, January 5th or so? Some of you guys are 5 days into your Bible reading plan, and I hope you finish it. I hope it goes well. But reading Scripture is not the goal. Reading the Bible more this year is not the goal. Scripture simply takes us to God. I want you to look past the reading of Scripture and say, am I connecting with God? Am I feeding on him? Am I worshiping him? Am I listening to him? And so think about every time you read the Bible, can you answer these questions? Did I connect with God? Did I connect with him? On a heart level, do I experience him? Do I listen to him in my Bible reading, in my Bible intake? If you've been at our church the last few weeks, one of the things that we're providing for you guys is an assistance just to help you in intaking of Scripture. We have a daily devotional, which takes us through the entire New Testament in a year, and then we have an Engaging God in Scripture journal. We're going to talk about these later on. If you haven't already got a copy, we have them in the lobby. Make sure you get one as you leave today. But one of the reasons that we chose this devotional is because it's New Testament and it breaks down day by day short passages, usually about 5 to 7 verses. And I actually believe this is a better approach than reading through the entire Bible in a year. That's not a problem. I've read through the Bible many times. If that's your goal, keep doing that. But what I've also learned is I can read 3 chapters and not remember anything. Or I can read 3 chapters and never really connect with God. The better approach, read a smaller amount of Scripture and go deep, right? In your mind, in your heart, and make sure you connect with God. Well, in your outline, let's look at the first point. We want to see the importance, the benefits of Scripture. The Word of God, Scripture, it's absolutely necessary for our minds, for our souls. It's that revival. It's the perspective of life. It's what's true of God, what's true of us, what's true of this world. And we need to have regular intake of the Bible in order. So let's talk a little bit about these benefits. See, one of the reasons that we read Bible is to remember. Those of you who have been Christians for a long time, remember. That's a key theme throughout the Bible, isn't it? That's what one thing God said to his people of Israel, remember. But then it said, they forgot. And he'd say, remember. And he'd say, they forgot. That's what we do. We forget. So we need to go to the Bible just to remember. Those of you who have an iPhone, I have an iPhone, and I get a notification, and it says, you have a photo memory from August 12th, 2010. And it pops up beautiful, adorable pictures of my babies when they were little. And it reminds me of how much I love being a dad. It reminds me of what's important in life is family and the joy of that. And all of a sudden, I don't want to watch the latest TV show. I want to hang out with my kids before they're gone from the house. That's what Scripture does. We read it and it says, you have an important memory from God. You have an important memory of who we are. And so when we're not intaking of Scripture, we just forget. And so we need to remember. There's a few benefits I'm going to give you from Scripture. These first ones come from Psalm 19, 7 through 11. David talked about this in his call to worship. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. There's no speech that's not heard. And then it goes on to verse 7 through 11 with these benefits of Scripture. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. And you can see how this is written. The law of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord, the precepts of the Lord, the commands of the Lord. That's what we find in Scripture. But then look at the benefit. Look at the first one. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. Anyone here need a soul revived? Is your soul lukewarm towards God? Is your soul discouraged? How do you get revival? How's your soul revived? Other than going to Wyatt's talk next week on free will. Our soul is revived from Scripture, from God being found in Scripture. I know I want my soul to be revived this year. And that comes through the law of the Lord. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. Now, have you ever met somebody who always knew the right thing to say and gave the best advice ever on what to do? What do we call them? We call them wise. How does one become wise? Through the word of the Lord, through the law of God, through the statutes of God. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. How do you manufacture, create joy? Would you like to be a more joyful person? I think having joy is the rarest but the most precious commodity in the world. Have you been around people who are just filled with joy no matter what the circumstances are in life? Hey, I lost my job last week, but I am full of joy. What? How do you create joy in your life? One of the ways, the precepts of the Lord, the Scriptures, the commands of the Lord are radiant. It gives light to the eyes. It's like being in a dark room and having a headlamp and boop, light comes on. You can see. We read Scripture, and the way that it gives us sight is it gives us perspective, doesn't it? You read it and you go, oh, okay. God's sovereign. God's in control. God's my God. God's committed to me. This isn't my home. I have a forever home. And all of a sudden, you've got light into your life. So do you see the importance of Scripture? Do you see one of the benefits? I mean, if I could implant in your head right now a revived soul, wisdom, light, and joy, that would be pretty awesome. The pathway is through the Scriptures. A few more benefits. One of the benefits from knowing God through Scripture is to endure suffering, to produce fruit. A new year. There's going to be some amazing, incredible things happen in each of your life this year. And there's going to be some really hard, difficult things that happen in every one of our lives this year. Let's look at what it says in Psalm chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. Talking about an individual who says, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. Again, when difficulties come, when suffering happens, when trials come, it says his leaf does not wither and he produces fruit. Who's the person that that happens to? The person who delights in the law of the Lord, the one who meditates on his Scripture. And then to increase in faith is another benefit. We'll look at this verse from Romans. It says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Wouldn't we all benefit from having more faith in our life? How do you create faith? It's impossible at times, especially because our soul within us is challenging us and the world around us. Faith comes from what? The answer is up here. Faith comes from, and where does hearing come from? The word. Your faith grows the more that you understand God as revealed in Scripture. So those are the incredible benefits. If you're weak in faith, if you're struggling to believe in God's goodness, in God's power, in God's presence, the only way your faith is going to increase is to go to the Scripture, is to go into God's Word. Well, those are some of the benefits of the Scripture that's going to lead us to this happiness with God. But I want to talk how. This is where we're going to make the switch to very practical. How to help you engage God in Scripture. I've been a pastor for 23 years now, and I'm convinced that every true Christian really does want to read the Bible more. It's not a question of desire. A lot of it is just what to do, how to get started. How do I engage God by reading Scripture? So I'm going to teach you a way that I believe is going to be very helpful. Is it the only way? No. Some of you have been Christians for a lot longer than me, and you've got a well-grooved way of spending time with God. And if you do, keep doing it. I grew up in Athens, Georgia, and I drive home to see my family. I've been doing it for over 30 years, and I know exactly the way to go. And that's the only way that I go. And there's new roads, there's new shortcuts that have come up, but I still get off on Conyers exit, and I still go 78, 138, and it takes me right home. So when I talk to you about your relationship with the Lord, I'm going to teach you a way of how to spend time with God, but if you've got a way that's working, then keep doing that. You're not going to hurt my feelings by not doing this. But the rest of us, probably many of us, if you're not engaging God on a regular basis through the way that you intake Scripture, then I hope this would be helpful to you. We're really going to be going through this journal right here with a method of just how to engage God in Scripture. And so once you learn, I think, this rhythm, you can begin using a blank journal. And so you don't have to use this, but this is a great place to start. So let's talk about this. There's an acrostic called LAMP, L-A-M-P. I need something that was memorable, specific, that I could teach other people, that I could teach my kids, that I could remember myself. And so we came up with this acrostic of LAMP. And that refers to Psalm 119. It says, your word is a what? Lamp to my feet, a light to my path. That's what the purpose of Scripture is. So I want to break down this acrostic. The first one is the L. And the L is looking to God's identity, looking to your identity, and remembering the gospel. This is where you are to start, at the very beginning. Now, that seems kind of a surprising place to start. Why do I need to begin there? The reason that we need to begin in remembering the gospel, when I talk about the gospel, is who is God and who has God made us to be, is because we forget it. Every morning, you and I wake up, and multiple times throughout the day, the truth of the gospel, it slips off our heart. It leaks out of our ear, out of our brain. We forget who God is, and we forget whom God has made us to be. So what we need to do is just have a reset. And the way that we do that is begin by remembering the gospel, remembering the truth of who God is. See, when you forget who you are, as revealed by God, we're filled with fear. We're filled with anxiety. Wait, I'm alone in this world. Wait, I don't have God's promise of protection in my life. Wait a minute, this world is all there is. I've got to go and acquire. I've got to experience life because I've forgotten that I'm an eternal creature. And what happens in this world is what matters really in the next world of eternity. See, we forget those things. And so we've got to begin reminding ourselves of what is true. There's two phrases that are in the journal just to kind of help prime the pump. You remember priming the pump, getting it going. That's kind of what the purpose of this is. God's identity. He is my Father. He's always wise and loving towards me. He rules over all. He's worthy of praise. That's God's identity. What's my identity? I am a loved. I am a forgiven child of the King. Chosen by God to reveal, to enjoy, and to glorify Him with my whole heart. Just begin thinking about those things. Again, there's nothing magical about that phrase. Use those, or some mornings I'll just start with, who do I know God to be? And who do I know I am? And I'll just kind of go with that. Who is God? God is holy. God is loving. He's steadfast loving. God is present. God is able to be trusted. And then I think about, who am I? You know, there's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Sometimes I just start with the words of John Newton. I am a great sinner, but I have a great Savior. And so you're processing those in your mind, and all of a sudden your affections for God begin to grow, begin to be warm. And then now I believe you're set into diving into Scripture. So the second one, L, looking to God's identity, your identity. The A is asking questions. So I've got my passage in front of me. I'm reading these verses, and I want to begin to observe. I want to begin to study and try to figure out, what are these passages really teaching? What are they teaching me about God? What are they teaching me about Jesus, myself, or this world? Every verse in the Bible can teach us something about God or Jesus or His Spirit or us or this world. So here's three questions to ask. The first one is, what truth am I to believe? The second one is, what sins do I need to repent of doing or seek to avoid? And the third one are, what actions will I do in response to the truth? Okay, so you got your passage, you're writing down your journal, you're observing. What are the key words? What are the phrases here? What are the commands? Who's the author? Who's the audience? What's going on here? And you're identifying what is the main truth of this passage and actually write it out. In the journal, there's a place to do that. The main truth is, and write it out. And then you need to interact with it. Okay, how has my life not lined up with this truth? And that's what we call sin. Sin is when we're living not in accord with what the Bible teaches. And so what sins do I need to repent of? Remember, what's repentance? Repentance is not just feeling sorry for something, but repentance is saying, I have sinned against God, and against Him only have I sinned. And repentance is also a commitment to turn away from that sin. Now, when you identify your sins, identify not just the surface sins. What I mean by that is, I said something mean to that person the other day. That's a surface sin. Words, actions. You also got to identify the root sins. Why did I say that mean thing to that individual the other day? It's because at my heart, I'm jealous. Or I'm fearful of that person hurting me, and I'd rather hurt them first. So repentance is identifying the surface sins that you've done, but what's at the heart level? Where's the pride? Where's the idolatry? Where's the unbelief? Begin identifying all those things. sin. And then the last step is the application. What will I do in light of this truth? There's got to be application. There's got to be a willingness to apply the Word of God in our life. And that goes, we see this from this verse in James, the book of James. But to the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevered, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. You know, you could read Bible and you could reveal some cool stuff and learn some things. But if you're not willing to apply it in your life, then it short circuits, really, the benefit. And then we learn from Ezra, the book of Ezra, it said Ezra had devoted himself to the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach statutes in Israel. So it's not just learning the truth. It's not just repenting of it, but what will you do differently? And write out a specific. Make your application specific, measurable. Your application should not be a nicer person. That's pretty vague, isn't it? It could be nice to my boss tomorrow in staff meeting. That would be a very specific application. And so, A, ask questions of the text. Try to figure out what truth am I to believe, what sins I need to repent over, and then what actions will I do in response. And then the third one, the M, is the meditation. To meditate on the truth. And you know what? I'm convinced that this is the one that's left out of most people's quiet time, personal devotional, whatever you want to call it. And to me, and myself included, I didn't include this for a long time. Most of the Protestant way of quiet times is usually Bible study and prayer, isn't it? Read my Bible, study the Bible, boop, close it up, and then I'm going to go pray. Meditation is the bridge between the two of those. Meditation is not just studying it with our mind, learning facts, but it's pushing it down to the heart. And then meditative prayer is how the scriptures come alive. Think about meditation as listening to God, right? Prayer is talking to God. We've got that part down. But could you say you actually pause to listen to God? Think about your own practice. Do you do that? Whenever I try to do this and go through my personal worship, I take 2, 3, 4 minutes just to be quiet and listen for God's voice. It's very uncomfortable. I'm very impatient because I have more blanks to fill out in this. And I think I'm missing out on what God wants to say to me. Do you believe God still speaks? He does. He speaks primarily through His Word, but there are times when God speaks to us. Now, most of the time, that speaking that I'm talking about, it has to be from His Word. It can't be some new word. But meditation is listening to God, lingering. I wrote this definition of meditation, and there's about 500 better definitions of meditation from people who've written, but this was easy enough for me, and I like it. Meditation is listening to God while lingering over a passage. I can remember that. Listen, linger. Listen, linger. Listening to God's voice and lingering. Taking time to consider. Reading the passage through slowly. Looking for key words. When I was a senior in high school, we went to Paris. And we went to the Louvre, the museum. And they give you a little brochure, you know. And, of course, being a semi-redneck from Georgia. I knew the Mona Lisa, and that was about it. So I got my little thing, and I was looking to see which hall the Mona Lisa was in. And I'm passing all these other beautiful artworks that's going on. And I get there, and it's like, oh, cool, there it is. Cool. All right, what's next? Remember, so often we do that in our Bible reading, don't we, our Bible intake. What if we just slowed down? And you see these people at art museums who are looking at one, and they sit down, and you're like, they're there for 30 minutes on one piece of artwork. And you're like, it's a table of fruit. What's the big deal? But what they're doing is they're taking in the beauty. They're considering it. They're letting it impact them at a heart level. That's missing in a lot of our reading of Scripture, isn't it? That's what we mean by meditation. Lingering. Considering it. And then there's this better definition of meditation that I thought was really good. He said, meditation is the descent. What's descent of the mind with biblical truth into the inmost heart until the whole being yearns for God? So he's saying, take that incredible facts that you just learned about the missionary journey of Paul and let it descend down into your heart. And then until your heart becomes, to use our word, happy in God, until your heart yearns for God. Again, this isn't an easy step because it takes a while to just sit and listen to God's voice and linger. And then the Puritan Thomas Brooks wrote these words. He says, it is not hasty reading, but serious meditating upon holy and heavenly truths that make them prove sweet and profitable to the soul. So it's not just reading, but it's meditating. It's not the bee's touching of the flower which gathers honey, but her abiding for a time upon the flower which draws out the sweet. It's not he who reads most, but he who meditates most, who will prove the choicest, sweetest, wisest, and strongest Christian. I hope you read through the Bible 5 times this year. But what I think would prove to be the better route is if you slow down and meditate more on a few verses. Meditate, listen to God's voice, linger over these verses. There's 2 questions to ask, and they're in this journal. Father, what are you saying to me from these verses? And why are you saying this to me today? Just let those 2 questions guide you in listening for his voice. So, L, looking to God's identity and your identity. A, asking questions of the text. M, meditate. And the last one is the pray. And I'm not just talking about praying for the missionaries and your neighbors and all that, but it's to pray through the scriptures. Pray through what you have just read. And it gave some guidelines there of just adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication, asking God to help you. Pray through the verses, pray through the passage, and you'll find even more things come to the surface as you do that. Praying through what's important. And then at the end of the time is in the journal, it just says, who needs prayer? I love that we kind of conclude our time with kind of thinking outwardly who needs to be prayed for and begin praying for them. So my challenge to you, well, let me say it like this. What do you and I need the most in 2020? I believe what you and I need the most is to find a soul that's happy in God. If we have a soul that's happy in the Lord, then no matter what happens to us, we will have joy, trust, faith, peace, rest. So how do you get your soul happy in the Lord? By engaging God regularly in His Word. Will you take that challenge on this year? Will you do that? One of the ways that we offer for you to do that is through this method. We want our community groups to go through it. I'm going to teach this to our youth. We want everybody to go through this. If you want to improve upon this, great. Do what's best for you. But have a plan, have a method. For meeting with God is absolutely worth it. Let me pray.